I know it's here somewhere.
Finally.
Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Yes, of course, we hope you enjoy the show. Otherwise, why would you hang around here early on a Saturday morning? Well, no, that's as I recorded. It's early on a Saturday morning. But for you, it could be any time, anywhere, any space and time continuum floating in the cosmos. Yes, anyway, who knows what time it is you're listening to the podcast. However, I know that I am recording this on a Saturday morning. Actually, on September the 20th. That's like, wow, September the 20th. We're almost through September. How did that happen? Somebody should tell me these things. Anyway, I don't know. The bottom line is we've got some stuff for you this week. And I think I may be just a little loud. Let me cut myself down just a tad there. Anyway, I'm watching my little meter go bouncy, 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 and it's just hitting little red things and overmodulating. Overmodulating. Not a good thing. Anyway, I digress. The point is that we have stuff for you. Now, the stuff we have is actually not bad. In recent weeks, I've had a hard time finding new geek culture. Geek culture is an elusive critter out there on the interweb. You keep searching and searching, and there's just so much that is lame. Every so often, you get one that goes, ooh, that's pretty good. And so it was that this morning as I searched for geek culture, I found on YouTube, a song that somebody did about Twitter. Now, let me set this up. You see, the internet is full of phenomenon that comes and goes. You know, early days, you basically had your basic web page. I'm talking the web days, not the internet days that go all the way back to the 60s where you had Usenet news groups and emails going around. I'm talking since 92, okay? That's since the World Wide Web was introduced by Sir Tim Berners-Lee when he was working on his master's project. Yes, that was before he was a sir, however. He became a sir later because the Queen said, hey, this internet stuff's pretty cool. So she knighted him. But anyway, point is that first you had web pages. Then somebody said, ooh, web pages full of text are boring. Let's put pictures on them. So they put pictures on them. Then they said, ooh, let's put some sound out there. So they put some cheesy sound with the little bouncing people who were like animated and it was really bad. But anyway, they kept adding things and doing more things. And the more things people did on the internet, the more people said, ooh, I've got to do that too. So everybody had to have a web page. Everybody had to have a blog. Everybody just had to have all these different things. Well, now the latest, well, not the latest thing, it's actually kind of not the latest thing, it's waning now, is Twitter. Everybody's Twittering and tweeting and various other strange sounding things that they're doing. And, of course, the latest thing that will come along will wipe that out. Matter of fact, Twitter is already considered somewhat lame, and they're having to rework their interface because people are getting bored with it. And that's just the way the internet is. So I like this guy's approach. He wrote a song. It's called the Twitter Song. And I want you to listen very closely to the words and enjoy the geekiness that is the geek culture of the Twitter Song. Yes.
You're no one if you're not on Twitter. And if you aren't there already, you've missed it. If you haven't been bookmarked, retweeted, and blogged, you might as well not have existed. You might as well not have existed. In the old days, it was all about achievements. Collecting all your trophies in a shrine.
In a shrine.
When everybody came across the internet.
Internet.
And suddenly you had to be online. A home page was all you really needed. To seem like a success, but not a geek.
Not a geek.
As long as you updated semi-annually.
Annually.
And checked your email once or twice a week. But now you're no one if you're not on Twitter. And if you aren't there already, you've missed it. If you haven't been bookmarked, retweeted, and blogged, you might as well not have existed. You might as well not have existed. Technology was moving rather quickly. The next thing you needed was a blog.
Was a blog.
Intimate and detailed press releases.
Releases.
Now and then a photo of your dog. More recently the students brought us Facebook. And everybody has 100 friends.
100 friends.
Parties and the photos look amazing.
Amazing.
They're not so great that everyone pretends. Cause now you're no one if you're not on Twitter. And if you aren't there already, you've missed it. If you haven't been bookmarked, retweeted, and blogged, you might as well not have existed. You might as well not have existed. Now you need to publish every movement. And every single thought to cross your mind.
Cross your mind.
Told the Twitterverse is full of rubbish.
Rubbish.
But most of us are really quite refined. We validate each other's insecurities.
Hey.
And brag about the gadgets that we've bought.
That we've bought.
We laugh out loud at every hint of jolliness.
Jolliness.
And try to self-promote without being caught. Cause now you're no one if you're not on Twitter. And if you aren't there already, you've missed it. If you haven't been bookmarked, retweeted, and blogged, you might as well not have existed. Oh yes, you might as well not have existed.
Twitter.
Ah, yes, Twitter. And, of course, being the lemmings that we are, we all went out and got Twitter accounts and Twittered ourselves and kept saying, today I'm doing this, now I'm doing that. Boring. Anyway, that was the Twitter song. I trust you enjoyed it. Now, of course, you know that here at Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
TechPodcasts.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, if it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. And I would encourage you to go to drbill.cc, drbill.cc for Computer Curmudgeon, and read the blog upon which this podcast is based. We are, of course, also members of the Blueberry Network.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
I just love the way he says that Blueberry.com. It's just so, you know, guttural. Anyway, we just have stuff for you, as usual. Now, before we get on with the stuff, I should mention, of course, that in the upper right-hand corner at the top of the column on the blog that I just mentioned earlier, drbill.cc, Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, there is an advertisement. advertisement, any way you want to say it, doesn't matter. The point is, there you can click upon it, and by doing so, you can go to a page that will be able to give you a 30-day free trial of GoToMyPC. Yes, indeed, Citrix Systems, a lovely, wonderful product, GoToMyPC. They are sponsors of this podcast, and I'm encouraging you to go there. There's a limited time because at the end of this month, we're going to, now hold on to your hats, we're going to eliminate sponsorship of the podcast. I know some of you are freaking out. No more ads! Yes, no more ads on the podcast. Well, at least not for anyone other than moi. Yes. But, so, you only have a limited time to click on this ad, so you should do it now! Go forth and click! drbill.cc. I'm telling you, 30-day free trial. Free, no obligation, nothing. Just go ahead, click on it, get that 30-day free trial. And, of course, remember the Shameless Commerce Center down at the bottom of the page. Any page on the blog, doesn't matter. You can just go to the bottom of the page, click on buy.com, all the different things. Matter of fact, let me just look and see what all's down there. Ooh, there's a GoDaddy ad. There's a buy.com ad. There's an Apple Store ad. There's a Skype offer. There's the Wall Street Journal. And, of course, the Amazon Kindle. And I still want an Amazon Kindle. I'm going to get one day. You just wait and see. Anyway, so click on all those ads, and it will fortify you for your experience on the interwebs. Okay, now, let's talk about some other things that I have planned for you, which is, of course, our typical stuff. The stuff in this case being that we have some new things out in the blog. Now, this next thing, first item for the week, is very, very near and dear to my heart. Now, here's the thing. Most of us, sadly, are using Windows as our operating system. We have not yet made the transition to the glory that is Linux. And, okay, I can understand that because there's some software that only runs on Windows that you may need in your day-to-day existence. Okay, I understand. However, the media player that comes with Windows, which is called, big shock, Windows Media Player, is okay. Okay, I mean, it's okay. But it's not great. It won't play every kind of audio and every kind of video format, every codec there is. However, as I've told you before, there is something that will. It's called VLC Player. It's awesome. Now, the big news is there is a new version of VLC Player out, and it rocks. They have actually changed the interface. They've done so many things. Let me just read a little bit of quote from the article here. The .9 version of the VLC Player adds a new interface module for Linux, Unix, and Windows, a media library, an improved playlist. That's pretty cool. Many new inputs and codecs. I mean, they already supported nearly everything there was. They added more. Many new audio and video filters for video playback, new protocols, new codecs, new demuxers, and many bug fixes have been added to support more formats. Dude. For audio playback, cover art and metadata support and editing have been vastly enhanced. It can play audio when the playback speed is changed. For the developers, Live VLC has been simplified and improved. You can actually develop for it. Many bindings for many languages were added, and there's a new Mac OS X framework. Scripts written in Lua, L-U-A, can expand VLC's media player capabilities. Read YouTube, daily motion URLs, fetch metadata, etc. This is just such a big upgrade, and it looks pretty, too. So download it. Go click on the link that I have there in the blog and download the new VLC media player. Dude, I'm telling you, it's really, really nice. So, do that. Next item, VMware and Citrix trump Microsoft in cloud computing. Now, let me digress just a moment here and explain that cloud computing is a concept that everybody's talking about. They're all buzzing about it. And that is the idea of getting all of our computer services off the internet and not having, tricked you, you thought I was going to say interweb. Anyway, getting it off the internet and using stuff like software and applications. I mean, you think about it. There's people that already have Gmail accounts, okay? And they use Gmail as their primary email, so they don't even have a local client. It's all coming off the web. Then you've got Google has written all kinds of applications that have like word processors and spreadsheets and calendars and all these different things. They're all coming off of Google's website. Well, this is the beginning of what we're calling cloud computing. Get it? It's out there in the cloud. It's not local. You connect to the internet. You've got a browser. That's all you need. That's why Google has come up with Chrome. Remember we talked about the Chrome browser? And there's actually a new version of that coming out, because as most Google things, it's in beta and they keep tweaking and improving it and so forth. But their whole idea of coming out with Chrome is that as we move to this cloud computing concept, that they want a browser that can better handle all these various applications that will be delivered via the web. Well, Microsoft is playing catch up and trying to get into this whole cloud computing deal. But even though Microsoft may be talking the talk of cloud computing, VMware and Citrix are walking the walk. They introduced new strategies and products at the VMworld conference in Las Vegas this past week. VMware and Citrix handily trumped Microsoft's recent virtualization announcements by unveiling detailed and comprehensive cloud strategies and product families for creating virtualized data centers in both enterprise locations and outside hosting sites. Now, you know, Citrix offers, let me put it this way. Citrix originally offered the idea of having applications that were available that weren't running on your local machine through what they used to call Presentation Server and is now called Zen App, okay? And they also introduced streaming applications where you could, you know, click on something and the application would actually stream down to your system. Then they came up with Zen Server when they bought the Zen project, and they created Zen Server to be a hypervisor virtualized backend to enhance their, so to speak, virtualized front end. And so they're getting into the whole virtualization thing big time. Well, VMware, of course, is the primary hypervisor provider. VMware is being used in most huge enterprises if they're doing virtualization. Matter of fact, we use it at High Point Regional where I work, and I'm the VMware administrator there, and we have big time cool things that we're doing with VMware. But Citrix is also working on virtualization big time, and they have come out with Zen Server and Zen Desktop, and of course, renaming Presentation Server Zen App. Lots of Zen going on there. Yes, Om. Anyway, the point is, much is happening in that cloud computing arena, but Microsoft's being left in the dust. Hyper-V just isn't there. They don't have, the ability to migrate stuff yet, won't be there for 2 years between like two different hosts. I mean, it's just not there, folks. So, sorry. You know, not really. I'm not really sorry that Microsoft's behind. I kind of like the fact that Microsoft's behind. Anyway, that's the Geek Software of the Week drum roll, which means it's time for the Geek Software of the Week. And in fact, this is very, very cool. If you're a really geeky person out there, you probably have more than one system that you need to connect your keyboard, video, and mouse to. That, of course, is KVM, keyboard, video, mouse. Now, what most people do is they run right out and buy a KVM box. And then they have all these cables that they have to string around and plug into all their systems. And then they have a box they can push a button, and they can use that one monitor, keyboard, and mouse on their desktop to go from system to system. Well, that's okay. You know, I mean, that's the way we always used to do it. Then somebody came up with the idea of KVM over TCP/IP. That's a lot of acronyms, isn't it? But anyway, the idea there was is that you could have one keyboard, monitor, and mouse, connect it to all your various systems through TCP/IP, through the network, and you could access all those systems by just doing keystrokes, you know, control, scroll lock or something, you know, whatever. And you could get to the different systems, and you could therefore look at the consoles. Well, that's kind of cool, too. But here's what's really cool in this Geek Software of the Week. It's called Synergy, and it is an open source project. Don't you love open source? Because open source is free. I like free. I really do. Because it saves money. Because free is free. Anyway, so this project called Synergy gives you a software installation that you can put on Windows or Linux, both, and allow you to switch between the keyboard, mouse, and monitor. And you can actually drag and drop things between the two. Now, let me tell you, this is pretty cool stuff, particularly since it's free. No more weird cables, no boxes to buy. Matter of fact, nothing to buy whatsoever. Synergy lets you share a single mouse keyboard and multiple between multiple computers with different operating systems, each with its own display without special hardware. It's intended for users with multiple computers on their desk, since each system uses its own monitor. Redirecting the mouse and keyboard is as simple as moving the mouse off the edge of your screen. Synergy also merges the clipboards for all systems into one, allowing cut and paste between systems. Now, how cool is that? That's just amazing. Furthermore, it synchronizes screensavers so they all start and stop together. And if screen locking is enabled, only one screen requires a password to unlock them all. Sounds a little bit like Lord of the Rings, doesn't it? One screen unlock for them all. Anyway, never mind. With Synergy, all the computers on your desktop form a single virtual screen. You can use the mouse and keyboard of only one of the computers while you use all the monitors on all the computers. You can tell Synergy how many screens you have and their positions relative to each other. Synergy then detects when the mouse moves off the edge of the screen and jumps it instantly to the neighboring screen. That's just wild. I mean, between operating systems, you could be jumping between screens. This is cool stuff. It's so techy, it just boggles the mind. So, that's your Geek Software of the Week. So, we've had, now think about this. We've had new geek culture with the Twitter, the Twitter song. We've had some tech news. We've had a Geek Software of the Week. It's been a full program. You gotta admit, yes. And actually, pretty doggone geeky. So, my job here is just about done, I think. yes, but of course it won't. You know what? I shouldn't have hit the button with it like that. That was really loud. I'm sorry if I blew your ears out. I was about to say it won't be time to leave until I hear the music. Boy, did I ever hear the music. I had the button the wrong place. Let's try that again where it very quietly comes in. It's just one of those days. Know what I mean? Yeah. It's time for the doctor to get out of here!